A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I'm prepared for another Abroad in Japan podcast.
What's going on? What are you doing?
We're still in a situation where you're in a hotel room. It's a Sunday afternoon here, and I am very hungover. So you're going to just have to deal with me being a little bit sleepy right now. I've had two coffees, and they've done nothing for me. They haven't even touched the sides. Unbelievable.
Oh, dear. You never cease to amaze me, Pete, with your drunken antics. Oh, man. Yeah. I am in Tokyo, though. I'm looking out a hotel window over the Shibuya skyline, lots of skyscrapers. Yeah. Very nice evening, lots of neon. But as of a couple of days, I'm kicking off Journey Across Japan, Escape to Mount Fuji, the kind of spiritual sequel to Journey Across Japan, except this time there's no bikes, it's in a car, so it's going to be good. And it's a lot shorter, at about 6-7 days compared to 46 days. So I'm looking forward to it. I think since we last spoke, I've also managed to get Natsuki on board as well for a couple of days, which should mix things up a bit. So it's myself, Joey the Anime Man, and Natsuki. So I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know what to expect. We've got a kind of loose itinerary that I've spent a few weeks working on, but I find the best kind of things happen when you don't plan too much. So we've got this loose itinerary of locations. We've got the monkeys that sit in hot springs in Nagano. That's our first location. We've got some creepy statues in the middle of nowhere. We've got some hot spring resorts. It's kind of a nice mix. And of course, it ends with us trying to get a view of Mount Fuji. And I've booked like two or three different locations around Mount Fuji in a pincer movement to try and get a bloody view of the damn mountain, because I know I won't. I never do. And it's going to be a disaster if Journey Across Japan Escape to Mount Fuji does not have a single shot of Mount Fuji. And yet it's quite obviously going to happen, so I'm quite scared. What do you reckon? Will we see it?
How many times have you tried to attempt to do this? It's got to be cracking on for like five or six times.
A dozen now. At least. Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's really quite bad. I'm going
to
cry.
This has to be the time. I believe in you, and I believe in Mount Fuji, and I believe in fate that you'll get to see him. This time round,
I believe in you. I think the trick is to get up early in the morning. When I went 2 years ago for the test run of Journey Across Japan, Sharla and I and the sort of team that helped film Journey Across Japan, they came with us to Kawaguchi Lake, a beautiful place. And we've got lots of wonderful things like Fuji Q theme park. And I didn't see Mount Fuji once while we were there, but a lot of the people on the team did, because they got up at really early, 7 o'clock or something, as I got up at 9 o'clock, because I was the talent, Pete. I got to go and I got to have a lie-in, which meant I missed Mount Fuji and didn't get to see anything. So I regret that. And everyone got to take nice photos except me. And I was really sad and depressed for the whole journey. So this time, going to get up at 6 o'clock, I'm going to see that mountain. Nothing will stand in my way. Nothing. And if I can't see it, I'm going to use CGI, special effects, get industrial light and magic on board. We're going to get bloody CGI Mount Fuji in the background. Nothing will stand in my way, ever. God.
Well, are you going to visit that Shibuya Scramble Crossing as well and put Mount Fuji in the background using CGI? Was it like 10 grand or something to film there for about an hour?
Yeah, I remember that. Like a few months ago. Yeah, we found out that you can hire a Shibuya Scramble. It's in the, I think it was in Tochigi Prefecture, which is about an hour north of Tokyo. And for those of you that missed it, guys, I think for about $10,000, you can rent out this replica Shibuya Scramble. And they've even built part of Shibuya Station, so you can use the ticket barriers. They've got the crossing. They've got like traffic lights and things. And of course, it doesn't have the towering skyscrapers, but instead it's got green screen and blue screen, so you can digitally add it in afterwards. It's really quite impressive. We should definitely, next time you come over here, when airplanes are a thing, airplanes to Japan, we should go there and make like some sort of film or something. Or just go to the real Shibuya Scramble for free and just get trampled in a sea of people. I know you love it. Mm. It's your favourite thing.
What are you going to do? I worry about what you're going to do if you cannot get to see Mount Fuji this time round. You've got to have a plan to be disappointed effectively.
Well, I mean, I'd literally just be me crying. The end of the series will be me just crying in a car for like a whole video. Just 10 minutes unedited, crying in a car, swearing over and over.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound too dissimilar from an Abroad Japan video anyway, a normal video. But I don't know. I mean, what we did with the last time when I didn't see it, we couldn't see it in the video, we had postcards of Mount Fuji and we just held them up in front of the camera and we're like, oh, look, this is what it would have looked like if it was good and we could see it. So I'll just do that. I'll just print out some nice big A3 papers of Mount Fuji, or just take a green screen, stick it behind Joey, Natsuki and I or whatever, and just use the
job done,
the magic of technology to stick it in. If I can shrink myself into a 1950s retro sitting room like I did for the Why I Hate Japanese TV video back in July, I can green screen Mount Fuji in the background, and that is the level of desperation you can expect from Journey Across Japan, Escape to Mount Fuji. Sheer desperation.
I believe in you.
Thank you, Pete. Now we turn our attention to story of the week. We have one from a story from Patrick from Canberra in Australia. He says, hi, perplexing Pete and captivating Chris. Perplexing Pete. Why are you perplexing Pete? Why are you perplexed?
Because my accent is difficult to listen to and I am confusing with my stories.
Absolutely. Why am I captivating? Yeah. Any ideas?
You've got a better accent than me and you have a very gentle way about you.
I have a what does that mean?
You have a very gentle way about you. I'm just saying you have a very gentle way about you. You do.
That's very
gentle
nice.
Way.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Patrick. Anyway, back to Patrick's story. My wife and I are longtime fans and regularly listen to the show on our weekly 6-hour round trip across the Australian outback. Wow. Being longtime Japanophiles ourselves and regular Japan goers, I thought I would add our own story of friendly Tokyoite encounters to your growing list. Christmas night, one year, saw us stumbling around Tokyo after an evening of sake tasting and sightseeing. From the top of Tokyo Tower, we decided on okonomiyaki pancakes for dinner, and we did what we usually do, search the back streets for a local spot, hopefully untouched by tourists. We eventually found an okonomiyaki place owned by an eccentric man from Hiroshima. He could not have displayed more Hiroshima Cup baseball memorabilia in his izakaya if he tried. We tucked ourselves in a corner and began feasting merrily. Slowly, a stream of salarymen and women trickled into the establishment, all of whom gazed at us with both surprise and suspicion, but ultimately did nothing, save throwing a few mistrusting glances. As the night continued and alcohol was consumed by the patrons, they all became a little bit more jovial and began sharing Christmas presents with the chef, who returned the favour with beer. One man presented the chef with a box of ice creams, and after opening one to eat, he shot us a glance. He then handed one to my wife with a Merry Christmas. The shop had now fallen completely silent, with all patrons now staring at my wife, perplexed and holding an ice cream. Thinking this was perhaps a prank we didn't understand, she cautiously peeled off the wrapper and took a bite. She said it had a mild sesame flavour. The chef leaned in and asked, "Is it good?" To which she replied, "Yes, oi she." The whole bar then erupted in cheers and screams while we sat there in stunned bewilderment as these previously reproachful locals now swarmed us with drinks and conversation and happiness. We left a short time after, very drunk and reeling from the encounter, but most of all with a wonderful memory of our favourite city. Never again will I cast doubt upon the diplomatic power of ice cream, nor the gracious hospitality of Tokyoites. Many thanks, guys, and I hope you're both staying safe. Patrick from Canberra, Australia. The power of ice cream, Pete. We all know you love Coolish, but I don't think you've had that kind of ecstatic reception from various locals in a pub, have you? Nothing of that level.
No. It's a little bit like, do you remember the man from, is it the man from Del Monte? The man from Del Monte, he says yes. In the 80s, there used to be an advert for the man from Del Monte. He would dress in like a kind of, like a white suit and go around the plantations, I guess, and check out the fruit, so to speak. And he'd give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. For the man from Del Monte, he said yes. It was probably quite an outdated image of what a fruit man, what his actual job was. But
when Patrick's wife gives the thumbs up and says yes, or exactly. it's a cool encounter. Like the fact that, I mean, this is quite typical, right? You go into an izakaya, people keep their heads down at first. Often, not that many people will say hello. But as time passes and drinks happen, especially on Christmas as well, people will liven up, people will start chatting. And I find when one person speaks to you, it opens the floodgates of a wonderful kind of atmosphere, and people will talk to you and it gets so much better. You just need that one person to make that kind of gesture, that break through that cultural language barrier, hand over the ice cream. I mean, if she'd said, "No, how was the ice cream? Is it good?" "No, it's rubbish," then it might have been a different reception.
It's
but
awful.
If someone in a bar or a pub hands you an ice cream, please do give a thumbs up and say yes, oishi. You never know what could happen. It's a nice story, that. But
it is.
I mean, the not so good bit, though, is the news story this week that we have chosen. Now, typically, with the Abroad in Japan podcast, it's a place of laughter and happiness, and just we aim for nice stories. But there is a story that's quite big at the moment that we couldn't really avoid, and it involves a man who is involves murder. The title, "Japan Twitter Killer Confesses to Murder." That was about 3 years ago. A guy called Takahiro Shiraishi was arrested for murdering several people. I think the figure was 9 people that he murdered, 8 right. girls, 1 guy. But the way he murdered them, or the reason he murdered them, was kind of shocking and bizarre. Now, Japan's suicide rate isn't great. That's quite common knowledge. It's not as bad as people think. It's ranked 30. If you look at countries, it's ranked 30th, only slightly above the US. So it's not, I think people have this image that in Japan, the suicide rate is like number one, but actually it really isn't as high as you think. Over the last decade, the figure has gone down. But what this guy, Takahiro Shiraishi, was doing was he was going on Twitter looking for people who were saying, "I want to kill myself," or people who were claiming they were contemplating suicide. And he would then contact them and say, "Let's do it together." And then he would just kill them, and he would kill them. And that is kind of shocking, right? This idea that he was exploiting these people that may or may not have ended up committing suicide, but he was exploiting them for that reason. He had 9 victims in total who did this. But he seems to think that because they wanted to commit suicide, it kind of he could kind of get away with it. What do you think? It's absolutely shocking, isn't it? Twitter killer.
That's unconscionable, isn't it? Obviously he's known as Twitter killer because of that particular device, but there must have been some kind of like, he must have thought that there's some kind of like moral justification for what he did. But an incredible story and how his victims invited them, you know, that man into their lives to finish things and him ending up just murdering them. It's a fascinating story. I just hope he goes down for it, quite frankly. Just an awful, awful, awful man.
Well, if he's convicted of murder, he will potentially face the death penalty. He'll be hung. But he he's only 29 years old. He's pretty young. But his Twitter profile contained the words, his Twitter profile said, "I want to help people who are really in pain. Please DM me anytime. Please direct message me." And he's, you know, he's sort of claiming that he could help people die and that he would potentially kill himself alongside them. I'm not sure how he murdered them. I'm not sure I want to know. What I do know is when the police came into his flat, they found body parts all over his flat, which is pretty grim. And actually the serial killings, which naturally stunned Japan, when they were exposed, it triggered this new debate about whether websites should allow people to sort of say they want to kill themselves. And the government actually indicated it might introduce new regulations. And even Twitter prompted a change. That Twitter amended its rules to state that users should not promote or encourage suicide or self-harm as a result, because this is, this is something that could happen. People could exploit you for that reason.
Pretty grisly. His lawyers are kind of going for the murder with consent sort of defense, that they wanted to kill themselves, so therefore he was just helping them, effectively, like euthanasia sort of thing. But he's actually disagreed with his own counsel and basically said that nobody gave him the consent to kill them. So it's I hope that is resolved and he's not, obviously not out on the streets for very much longer, because it's horrific. And some of the ages of his victims are just incredibly young as well. So it's a tragic story.
And if he does face the death penalty, that won't be a great deal of fun. In Japan, they have it's done quite unpleasantly. The death penalty already pretty hardcore, but in Japan they often don't tell you that you're facing the death penalty. You're going to be hung until a mere hours before it happens, so you're kind of stuck in your cell not knowing if it's your final day or not, right? So it's pretty grisly, but I guess that could be just a punishment for something of this caliber, something that's horrific. There's a big difference between someone saying I'm thinking of killing myself and someone actually going ahead and doing it, and wasn't his place to come in between there, but horrible
dark
crime.
Dark.
There. Yeah. I don't like the way they've branded him Twitter killer, though. I always find it something wrong when they take a murderer and they sort of brand them something like that, the Twitter killer. I don't know. It seems a bit wrong, doesn't it? It's almost like, I don't know, it's not glorification, but it feels like it's a level of infamy that shouldn't be deserved or earned.
It's most of Netflix nowadays. This pretty much every show on Netflix is a true crime adaptation. Most podcasts, too.
I mean, just yesterday I watched a documentary on Netflix called American Murder. Have you seen that yet? I swear, like, every other documentary on Netflix is a horrific crime. And they're absolutely fascinating to watch, but they will leave you thoroughly empty, as American Murderer did, or American Murder. If you've got Netflix, I do recommend watching it, but it is thoroughly unpleasant.
A little bit much.
Yeah, but there you go. If you hear about the Twitter killer, the Japan Twitter killer, now you know what happened. Not horrible, horrible, monstrous man, Takahiro Shinoishi.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TRYLIFEMD.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25-minute first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Are you a YouTuber?
Wow.
Now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got in the fax machine this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got a message from John from the West Midlands. This question is more for Pete, yes, but I welcome input from both. I live in the UK, and although I dream of visiting Japan with my other half, the logistics and financial side of this aren't worth considering at present, as we have two children under the age of five. I've heard they're very expensive, John. Hang in there, mate. With this in mind, what would you recommend to help fill the Japan-shaped hole in my life, other than eating out of Wagamama regularly and watching an ungodly amount of anime, John from the West Midlands? Hmm. I would definitely recommend the video game Shenmue, and also Yakuza as well, because they're faithful reproductions of parts of Japan, are very, very addictive and very evocative, I think it's fair to say.
I mean, the easy one there, just watch Broad Japan, but I don't think that's enough. I would also suggest
buying my new set of stationery surprise monthly subscription boxes that I'm putting together. Pete's Pens. It's very much like Charla's one that she was advertising on this show a couple of weeks ago. It's Pete Pens. Each week you get a ruler, a Stablo Boss pen, and maybe a lovely strawberry smelling eraser as well. Lovely.
I'm sure Charlotte will be delighted to hear Neko Neko Post finally has a suitable rival. God, that is grim. No, I mean, yeah, just maybe listen to some Japanese music. I got into Enka music. What was the name? I haven't listened to her in a while. Meiko Kaji. If you've seen Kill Bill, a lot of the soundtrack is Meiko Kaji, which is this actress from like the 70s, and she does some really cool songs, and that's all on YouTube. Tatsuro Yamashita, my favourite, the king of city pop, a genre of kind of happy 70s, 80s Japanese pop music. I love him. Tatsuro Yamashita, he's great. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I do think it is difficult. I mean, one of the reasons I set up the Abroad Japan channel, full stop, is before I got here, and I wanted to see more about Japan, there just wasn't a whole lot going on, right? Back in 2012, not that much going on, either on YouTube or online about Japan. I remember when I looked up Yamagata Prefecture, right, where I ended up teaching and living for 3 years. On Wikipedia at the time, it just said Yamagata has cherries. And that was it. That was literally the only thing. And a population number of like 200,000. So you're better placed these days, guys, to see Japan and get your Japan fixed, because there's a lot more channels on YouTube, and there's podcasts, and there's Google Street View as well. Just go on a Google Street View holiday. Nice cheap holiday.
Wander around.
Everyone loves it.
Lovely.
Wander around, get a beer, Google Street View around. Job done. Solomon Crawford says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, hope you're both doing well. My name's Solomon and I live in Atlanta, Georgia. The podcast is my vacation away from COVID news and the political nightmare surrounding upcoming elections. These days, I often find myself reflecting upon my short time in Japan over Christmas and New Year's this year. It was only a 10-day trip, but I managed to get away from Tokyo and visit Kurashiki, Shibuya, in Gunma, and Jodogahama Beach in Iwate. Good God. That is an incredible itinerary for 10 days, Solomon. I mean, all three of those places are scattered across Japan. Like, Kurashiki is in Okayama, and we made a video there. If you want to see it, I think I made a video called I Tried Being Vegan for a Day in Japan or something. But that video is set in Kurashiki, and it's one of the most beautiful places. It's the Venice of Japan, really beautiful. I'm not sure where Shibuya in Gunma is. That's kind of central Japan. But Jodogahama is on the most isolated spot. It's this really isolated coastline in Iwate, the Sunriku coastline. Beautiful place, but good God, I don't know how he got there. Unless you've got like a magic carpet. Anyway, in the big cities, I saw plenty of foreigners, but it did not take me long to realise that I stuck out being a black man in the middle of the countryside. I expected people to look at me with confusion or fear, but to my surprise, this was the nicest I'd ever been treated in my lifetime by complete strangers. I received homemade sweets, fruits, and I was even invited out to lunch multiple times. In Kurashiki, many students shyly approached me and asked to take photos with me. Japan is an extremely hospitable place, and I can't imagine receiving that sort of reception by locals if I were to venture off to the country hills of Georgia. I'm looking forward to the 2021 JET application opening this month so I can get back out there for the long term. I'm hoping to get placed in Iwate or Hokkaido. Many thanks for all the content and laughs you provide, guys. All the best, Solomon Crawford." That's fantastic. I'm really glad to hear that, Solomon, that you had such a nice time. You know, we do get messages, questions, comments from our listeners who are black and wondering if that's going to be an issue or how that's going to affect them in Japan. And by and large, the result's been fairly positive, I think. Through various stories we've had in the last few weeks, it's been quite positive. And this has only confirmed that. So I'm really glad to hear that. And I hope you do get on the JET program next year, Solomon. And if you mention you've been to Japan, I think that alone is always a good thing to have, because they'll love that. And if you say you went to rural places like Iwate or Kurashiki, that'll look really great as well, that you've kind of gone off the beaten track and you've discovered different places and gone your own path, which unfortunately not enough foreign tourists to Japan get to do. So well done to you, Solomon, and all the best.
Yeah.
Let me know if you have any further questions.
From Sol, I'm shorting his name, giving him a little nickname, like Sol Campbell. Solomon, if he, like, what made him choose those parts of Japan?
Yeah, I want to know as well.
Fascinating.
Let us know.
Maybe just got a big map and just put some pins in it. Just kind of pin the tail of the donkey.
I hope so.
Well, right, we've got a message from Pete. It's Vincent. Hi, Pete, and the almighty Chris. I'm Vincent, a soon to be 24 year old Malaysian, or soon 24 year old Malaysian. I've been watching a few university years in San Francisco around 4 years ago. With immense luck, managed to avoid the restless pandemic in the States. So I'm now working as an alt at a junior high school in Kumagai, Saitama. My question is, where do you get the motivation to make videos while working as an alt, A-L-T, a assistant language teacher? Keep the good work. Much appreciated. Vincent. Exciting. Have a lovely time in Japan. What's your, what gave you the power and time to get involved?
I've always wanted to do filmmaking, and I kind of put that dream in the dustbin around the age of 18. Like, I was going to university to do film studies, right? And I dropped out. I didn't do that because I thought, too risky, because if I didn't want to do film, then I can't really apply for any jobs. So I changed my degree to business and linguistics, got on the JET program. And then out in the countryside, I just thought, holy crap, this is so unique. This is so amazing. And like I said earlier on, there weren't that many videos about Japan. There was a gap there that I felt I could fill. So that was my main reason why I kicked it off. But the motivation was, once I'd made the first video, the first two videos, and I saw the response from friends, family, strangers over the videos, I just kept going. And it's hard to explain the thrill of uploading a video the first kind of day. When you put up a video, back then 100 or so people watched it, but I was like, wow, 150 people, that's amazing. That thrill of people that you've never met around the world watching a video and enjoying it is incredibly powerful. And that is where I get my motivation now. So not only do I enjoy doing it, but I'm motivated by the many wonderful viewers around the world who enjoy the videos and let me know that it's all worthwhile. Because you do have doubts sometimes. You do have times you think, oh, is this worth it? But it is worthwhile. And it was weird. I remember I'd finish teaching at like 5 p.m. I'd go home, and my colleagues, I taught with another foreign dude, a guy from New Zealand, and a Canadian guy at a nearby school, and we'd often go out for dinner. And there'd be nights where they'd be like, let's go for a drink. And I'd be like, no, I've got to make a video. And they were like, what do you mean you've got to make a video? I was like, I've got to do it. I've got to do this. So when you're passionate about something like that, you just get on with it. You just feel this burning desire. So those are my main sources of motivation, I would say. It's not just one thing. It's just loads of things. And that's the thing. When people often say, I want to start a YouTube channel, you've really got to have that kind of motivation. You've really got to have that drive and love of doing it. Otherwise, you'll just give up.
To keep on doing
it. Yeah. Exactly. You've got to really enjoy it. So that's my advice to you. Pete, what are your thoughts as someone who has their own YouTube channel?
With anything, isn't it? It's like you've got to have if you are feeling slightly non-creatively, you're feeling a little bit unfulfilled in your normal job, you want to do something in your private life to sort of bolster that a little bit and keep them juices flowing. So yeah, I think it's just you've got to want to do it. and you've got to fundamentally do it, because you see a lot of these people who are around about Chris's age burning out because they just seem to be doing the same formulaic kind of productions every time. You've got to keep things interesting for yourself, or you'll just, your head will explode.
Absolutely. You've got to take a leaf out of Pete's book, get a video camera, go and make some videos about rice cookers at Haneda Airport. Live the dream. Yeah. What is your channel called now? I forget, it changes too much.
I can't remember. I think it was I Review Players now. I think it's it's called I Review
Dynamic
Players now. It's
YouTube very good channel. It is
yeah. Last video
we've got one here for, it's been a while. We've got one here from Mike from North Yorkshire. It says, hello Chris and Pete, I'm planning to visit Japan at some point in the future, with the capital city of Tokyo being my first port of call. There are all sorts of things I want to see and experience there, but compared to the daytime, there doesn't seem to be as much to do once night falls. Is this true? What are some of the things you have most enjoyed doing in Tokyo at night? I love the podcast. Keep them coming. All the best. Mike from North Yorkshire. Things to do at night in Japan. I would say it kicks off with a trip to a bar. Like for me, I'd kick off with a bar, go to a bar, have a drink, then go to an izakaya, a kind of Japanese pub. We sit and have lots and lots of different types of food. A good izakaya in my book has a variety of food. We're talking yakitori, we're talking sashimi, we're talking even more yakitori, things like that, and just diverse ranges of food. Yakitori mainly, which I ate today. Then from there, you would go to another bar, a different bar, somewhere cool maybe. And then after that, you'd go to a quiet little bar maybe and have some whiskey with the nice kind of owner, the nice master who loves his whiskey and has 150 different varieties of whiskey from dating back 2,000 years. And he'll ask you what whiskey you want. And you say, I don't know, just give me the whiskey. That's where you've got to go for the fourth place. And then finally, of course, karaoke. You've got to end it with karaoke. Can't beat it. And I've gone to karaoke sober. It's not fun. It's not easy. You do need to go to at least three different bars beforehand and drink. But when you get to karaoke, it's exceptional. And I think I'm just kind of retreading our night out in Osaka in many ways, to be honest, Pete. But night in Tokyo look like? Nightclubs? Any nightclubs?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be a pub crawl, isn't it? Just because there's just so many different. There's so much kind of variation. Just try and get an early bit. What I do is early dinner, 5 p.m, and then get your head down for an hour or so if you're incredibly jet lagged, and then it's drinking time.
Get your head down. I mean,
get your head down.
I mean, one nice thing about Tokyo is you can sit outside and drink, and it's nice to sit in a park, or just even on a bench somewhere and just drink a strong zero or some beer or something, and just sit and watch the world go by. I think that's kind of nice. But nightclubs. There are quite a few nightclubs in areas like Roppongi and Shibuya, but I've never really enjoyed it. I used to love clubbing back in the UK, but in Japan, I just find the music's not as good and the dynamics not as great either. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, the music's pretty.
There's plenty of options.
Pretty awful,
mainly
as well.
Karaoke. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
But I hope that helps, Mike, and I hope you're able to get over here eventually when things improve. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time in the next few days to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, stay safe, stay clean, and we'll see you then. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.